It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Take Talk Podcast. My name is Stephen O'Rourke, and as always, I'm with my co-host, Brett Whitefield. And Brett, the draft guide is out and running.
Yes,
sir. How does it feel to have that, like, on paper, out in public? Like, what's that feel like after hours upon hours upon hours of work to, like, finally see the culmination of it all?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good, but the reality is we're only halfway there, you know?
So right.
two big things of note. Version 2.0 is going to come out sometime next week is the hope, and that's going to include the defensive side of the ball. So you're going to get basically double the amount of prospects, and then between now and the draft, we'll still be adding guys here and there. Probably throw some more offensive linemen in there. We'll get to a couple more receivers, a couple running backs. I don't really want to watch any more quarterbacks because the rest of them completely stink.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, it does feel good to get it out, but we're only halfway there and there's still a lot of work to be done, Steve. But here's another cool thing. I don't know if the people know this, but I don't have a date yet, but it could be as early as tomorrow. We will have an app in the iOS App Store.
Whoa.
The prospect guide. And it's really, I've seen it, played with it. It's real sleek and sexy and very easy to use. And yeah, it'd be like the hot spot for reading your the player evals, because it's really easy to use and very functional. So that's coming soon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was told potentially 4-1, which is what, Saturday?
Yeah, today's Thursday. Yeah. It's really Saturday.
But, you know, things in the tech world always kind of lag later than they're supposed to. So it could be 4-2 or 4-3 or 4-4. But whatever the date is, it's going to be pretty rad. And I'm excited to have that up and running for the draft, especially because I've got like a bunch of different shows I have to do.
Right.
During draft. So like being able to kind of like on my phone quickly gather, you know, remember my own thoughts about a player. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, that's actually, now they say that, that's nice to have like the whole catalog of your opinions.
Yeah.
Able to call back on without like, oh crap, all right, am I completely stepping on my own toes here? Like, no, you can just go back and look like, all right, that is what I said. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, I would say for the top 15 to 20 at each position, you remember guys, obviously.
Of course.
But when you're getting into like running back 26, like who's a guy I watched the other day that Scott Barrett forced me to watch and I wanted to vomit afterwards, was yeah, the little running back from Eastern Carolina, Mitchell.
Oh yeah, I've Mitchell, I don't know much about him, but
yeah, but like, you know, I'm not gonna remember much about what I wrote because I, you know, was admittedly trying to get through that evaluation fast. So
because he's like RB30 and
unlikely to have a significant role in the NFL at his 170-pound size. So
as a primary back, yeah, I don't really see there. That's, I mean, like
even a secondary, like a rotational guy that has a third down role. There's not even guys that small doing that, really.
Right.
He did run really, really fast at the combine, though. So he's intriguing to a lot of people. So
makes me think of Dree Archer.
Yeah, there you go. Kick return only kind of guy.
Right. Like, all right, if we just use his speed in the right way, he's going to go. And nobody ever uses speed the right way because he weighed 160 pounds and was like 5'7".
Yeah. And this is funny. We're on a side tangent already, which is fine. But people ask all the time, well, why does it matter that a running back is only 170, 180 pounds when you see receivers that small all the time? And I've explained this a few times, Steve, but I feel like it needs to be reiterated. Because a running back at 170 pounds is getting hit by 300-pound defensive linemen on the reg.
Right.
A receiver is getting hit by cornerbacks that aren't that much bigger than them. Sometimes the same size. There's cornerbacks that are 175, 180 pounds. So
yeah,
it's a big, big difference. Big time difference. So
yeah, there's a difference between 170 taking the full weight of a 240-pound 4-5 linebacker in the hole and a receiver you know, at worst, you know, maybe getting popped across the middle by a linebacker. But how often does that that barely happens nowadays, really?
Yeah, for sure. So I got something else we can talk about, actually, real quick before we dive into very football heavy discussion.
Yes.
Steve, this is Take Talk episode 49.
Whoa.
Which means episode 50 is coming very soon.
Arguably next week, we might say.
Yeah. Yes. And the thing about episode 50 is, Steve, you and I had never really done this before. And now we have millions and millions and millions of listeners. So
it's amazing.
We need to reward the listener base with the prize giveaway. And so I haven't confirmed this yet with the boss, but I am talking to him about it very soon. But I think we're gonna do a premium subscription giveaway for episode 50.
Oh, I like that.
And so I'm gonna get this started now. We'll post for like official details probably Monday morning to kind of give the fans the whole week to prepare.
Right.
But if you're not currently a Fantasy Point subscriber, what I want you to do in preparation for this moment is go to the App Store, whether it's preferably the iTunes podcast store, sorry, and write us a review, a 5-star review, not any review, and screenshot that you did so. DM it to me or to Steve on Twitter. I'm at BG Whitefield. Steve is at call me Steve07.
Yep.
And then, yeah, so do those two things, and that'll be how you enter the contest for the premium subscription. You can't already have a subscription to Fantasy Points, though. This is for new customers only. And I'm still trying to figure out something we can do for people that are already subscribed to fantasypoints.com. I need ideas. So if anyone has ideas, by anyone, I mean you, Steve, or any of our other colleagues at Fantasy Points, please, please hit me up with that information, because I don't really know what to do for people already subscribing. But anyways, we're going to do some type of giveaway. Even if it has to come out of my own pocket, it's going to happen. So,
right.
But yeah, appreciate everyone that listens to the show. And we are going to hit episode 50. And it's just the beginning for TikTok. I do know that. So, all right, Steve, we should probably talk about the NFL.
Yep. I think we should. And I feel like we're later to it than most, but I feel like we have to talk about Lamar Jackson.
Yes, we did do a Lamar Jackson episode, but we spent most of that time talking about reasons not to trade for him.
Right.
Or why teams might be shy. We didn't do a good job of painting the picture of why a team would trade for Lamar, or teams maybe best fits, Steve. I think maybe that's a great way to take this. What are Lamar's best fits? I feel like there's some teams that clearly are not good fits that have been linked to him for some reason. Like the Lions, for example.
Yeah.
They're not in a situation to do this. Of all the teams being rumored to be interested or whatever, they make the least amount of sense, actually. But there are teams that 100% should be picking up the phone and calling the Baltimore Ravens about Lamar Jackson. And it's crazy that there's been zero movement. I get the concerns. We've already did a whole show about the concerns. I get the concerns. But for some teams, those concerns should mean little to nothing.
Right.
One team that's interesting to me, and I want to table them for the very end because we want to loop in the Aaron Rodgers discussion with this, but I want the Jets to go full heel and just say, screw you, Aaron Rodgers, we're going with Lamar Jackson. That would be great. But let's table that for the very end.
Yeah, because that's a conversation that I definitely want to dive into too, because, yeah, we'll save it.
So why don't you throw out a team that you think is a good fit for Lamar?
I mean, the first one that comes to my mind every time is Atlanta. That is and I think everybody said it kind of ad nauseum at this point, but it bears repeating that like Atlanta's system that they ran last year is picture perfect for Lamar. Having a quarterback that is like constantly on the move, constantly in motion, Lamar throws a great deep ball, and they were, you know, their Mariota's ADOT was up there. And I just think that like it'd be such a seamless transition to go from Mariota, who is Lamar Jackson light, and dropping in Lamar Jackson with the weapons that they have in a team that is, you know, in theory on the rise and, you know, trying to take those next steps in a division that is absolutely there for the taking, like, this would set them up to take over the division for, you know, potentially 3-4 years with Lamar. Like, there's no, like, everybody in that is either really bad or kind of in a weird transition period. And, like, what a better time to seize the division than right now by going to get Lamar. You're not necessarily mortgaging your entire future. Lamar is still super young, still really young. You'd be giving up 2 firsts for him. I just think, like, that in and of itself, it just makes, it makes too much sense. And I can't believe that Atlanta is, like, pulling themselves out so quickly.
Yeah, they make a ton of sense. I mean, for the, some of the reasons you mentioned was the division. And yeah, I agree. You go get Lamar Jackson, you're competitive right away.
Right.
And I do think the top to bottom, the Saints probably have a better roster for now, but, like, every year it seems they get stripped of some talent because of their cap situation. So, you know, I don't know how far Derek Carr is going to take them. It just makes a ton of sense. Carolina's obviously going with a rookie. They trade up for one overall. So, like, they're probably in a transitional phase of at least a year or two. Like, this really gives you a jump start in taking control of that division. They've got, when you look at their roster, Steve, like, they've got pretty good weapons. I mean, they have two top 10 picks at pass catcher and Kyle Pitts and Drake London. They just acquired John Smith. Yeah, they need to add more to that room. I think Matt Collins is a serviceable wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
Or deep role type. Like, ideally, he's your wide receiver 4, and he's a deep threat only kind of guy. But they added Scotty Miller, also a deep threat kind of guy. But both those guys bring speed to the table, though. So
yeah,
that works well with Lamar's skill set.
Yeah, and, like, Mariota, he was first with qualifying quarterbacks for average depth of target. Or he was up there for – not first, but he had a 9.8 average depth of the target for last year. Lamar wasn't too far behind at about 8.2. And Lamar had, you know, 0.52 fantasy points per quarterback for like, per opportunity. The guy makes plays, and to drop him into onto a team, into a room where, I mean, Pitts and London are arguably the two best, you know, receivers that he would have ever played with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least from, like, a physically talented standpoint, no doubt.
Right.
Then you look on defensive side of the ball, Steven, things are starting to look decent. You know, they're not where they need to be, but, man, it's been bad for Atlanta the last few years. And
yeah,
look at the hog mollies in the middle. They added David Onyemata. They added Eddie Goldman. They have Grady Jarrett, who's a phenomenal player. They added Calais Campbell. Like, they're thick in the middle there. Campbell can play inside or out. They definitely need a pass rusher. And they probably need, I mean, I think a true edge pass rusher is probably the missing link there right now. I don't think they're awesome in the secondary, but they're good enough. They added Jesse Bates from Cincinnati. They got Casey Hayward and AJ Terrell.
Yep.
Quincy Grant is a decent player. D. Alford is okay. I don't know, man. Like, I think the roster might be a little bit better than people realize. Again, not good by any means, but a little bit better. Their offensive line's in an okay spot too, actually. They retained Caleb McGarry. They have Jake Matthews, so the good tackle situation. Chris Lindstrom's a very good player. Matt Hennessy's decent. I mean, Steve, am I crazy, or, like, are the Falcons actually not in a terrible spot here?
That's why I think that, like, I can't wrap my head around why they're bailing on Lamar so quickly.
And the interesting thing too is, like, so Arthur Smith's going into year 3. They've underperformed a lot, even though it was kind of a rebuild situation. I don't know why he, going into year 3, would think rolling with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke was the way to go for, like, job security purposes.
Right.
He gets sign off ownership on that? Like, that's crazy.
And it's not like they're in a position in the draft to really go after one of the top names.
I mean, they're not too far off. I think they have a shot at Will Levis at 8.
Yeah, which,
wherever they are.
In my opinion, like, if you think about it, you'd be basically giving up 8 and then probably next year's, like, that's worth it to go to upgrade from potentially Levis, or they're probably, even if they don't go a quarterback, but like if they were to go Levis, the upgrade to Lamar is, you know, is huge.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I agree that like the Falcons have a good, have a decent team on paper. And yeah, what better way to like aid a defense and, you know, help improve a defense than by giving them a good offense to play alongside. And Lamar brings that. Lamar brings like the ultimate ability to play their ball control offense that they want to play. And, you know, if they want to keep running the ball, you know, over 50% of the time, they can. And Lamar fits into that and at least adds another weapon to that. And at least that then makes the defensive secondary they're playing consider the pass, because with Mariota, you consider it, but you're not really, you're not scared of him.
The other thing we haven't really mentioned, Steve, is like Arthur Smith, whether it was at Tennessee or in Atlanta, he loves to design his offense around the run game and then eventually the play action pass. And Atlanta, right, as bad as they were last year, that didn't stop them from smashing people in the face with the run game.
No.
So you add Lamar to the mix, it's only going to get better from there. I mean, I do think that's a good fit. Let's pivot. Let's talk. I got an interesting one I want to throw at you, and that's the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, there's one out of left field.
Yeah, I don't know why no one's talking about this. Tua, I mean, gosh, with what we saw from Tua last year, obviously on the field he was fine when healthy, but he's taken such a beating.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you're not worried about that long term and why you wouldn't pick up the phone. The issue might be that they don't have a first round pick this year. Maybe that disqualifies them. I'm pretty sure Baltimore could take any two first round picks they want, though,
if I
understand the rules correctly. So if Baltimore was okay with not getting a first this year, I don't see why Miami wouldn't be in the mix. He would instantly upgrade that team. I mean, think about the weapons they have in Hill and Waddle. It's like perfect for what Lamar needs.
Yeah, and think about what they've done to their defense. Their defense has been upgraded a decent amount. And yeah, I mean, if you insert Lamar, where would you, if let's say Miami got Lamar, where would you put them in the hierarchy of the AFC? Would they be the number two team behind the Chiefs, like on paper?
I mean, you still have to keep Buffalo in the conversation.
Yep. So
I don't know that I'd leapfrog a Buffalo quite yet. But let me look here.
Because they're,
I think, probably fourth.
Because the more I look at their defense, I love their defense. And their offense with Lamar would just be a souped up, like a souped up race car.
Yeah.
Like what we've been asking for years is put a mobile quarterback into Kyle Shanahan's system. Kyle Shanahan tried to do it with Trey Lance. We got it for about a game and a half. But McDaniel seems like a guy who would go a little bit even more outside the box if he got someone like Lamar into that quarterback room.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked, gosh, I don't know how many times we've talked about this with Lamar, but the way to get the most out of him in the pass game is to give him quick twitch separators. You know,
yep,
he's got two just absolute units in Hill and Waddle in that regard, just guys that separate at will. And they create for themselves too, create after the catch. So,
two things
that would really go a long way.
When Bateman was healthy at the beginning of the year, Lamar started off at an unreal pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, having a guy like Bateman, like you said, a guy that can separate, you know, a little bit better, it showed dividends right away last year. And then when you saw it, Lamar, they lost Bateman, who really was their, you know, their only consistent separator. And his numbers started to level out and he started to become a little bit more, you know, pedestrian, for lack of a better term. Is, you know, it was a little bit more run of the mill. Baltimore didn't look as good. And he just, you know, and it continues to be a byproduct of the fact that Baltimore just doesn't have the weapons around Lamar that you really need for him to succeed.
Yep.
Like, don't get me wrong, he can still put up numbers, he can still play really well, but he has his limitations, and he still needs dudes. He's not at Mahomes level where, you know, you can throw out whoever you want, whenever you want, and Mahomes will still find it. Exactly. Yeah. No one is. And so, you know, putting him on a team where, gosh, imagine him throwing deep balls to Tyreek Hill. Like,
right.
Imagine a guy that can't physically underthrow those guys. Like, he can air it out probably 15 plus yards more than Tua if I had to guess.
Yeah, and then just all those guys, like all the, look at the receiver depth chart. It's all guys that can create after the catch. I mean, Eric Ezunkama, Cedric Wilson Jr., even Braylon Sanders way down there in the depth chart. They brought in Braxton Berrios from New York, who's a signing too, because he's a guy who can win in the short parts of the field with separation and give, you know, Lamar a litany of easy throws. It just makes too much sense to me for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Another team that I think bears mentioning and a lot of people have talked about, but it makes too much sense, is the Washington Commanders. What a better way to enter into this new era of Washington football with Schneider potentially, you know, on his way out, and bring in Lamar to bring in this new era of Washington Commanders football.
Yeah, I mean, yes. The fact that they're like adamantly against it just cracks me up. It does.
Because that's another team that, like, looking at their weapons, I mean, McLaurin, Dotson, Gibson, Robinson, like they have they're another team that has good weapons that Lamar could step in and immediately elevate that team. It's another team that has been just kind of like operating in quarterback purgatory. And, you know, it seems like they're never going to find their way out, because they're another one that it's like, all right, they're rolling with Sam Howell potentially.
Sam Howell or Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. And just it, which to me just says like, all right, we're strapping ourselves in for another 3 years of, are we, you know, will they, won't they, with making the playoffs? Like, and then it'll go 9-8, 10-7, 9-8-1, 8-9 1 year. Boom. There's 3 years in a row where they almost made the playoffs, but like now they're wasting a lot of the youth and talent that they have on both sides of the ball.
Right.
And Lamar, I think, immediately makes them, it's a tough division now, but I think it immediately puts them at like 11, 12 wins pretty consistently with the talent that that roster has and what he would bring to that team.
Yeah, Lamar on that team would be so fun with the weapons you already mentioned. Curtis Samuel on there too.
Yep.
I mean, just
Dyami Brown, even having, like, he started to come alive a little bit next year, like, or last year, I think Lamar Jackson immediately makes him more of a factor.
Yeah.
Because one of his big calling cards is, you know, his ability to play the deep ball. And I think Howell, he has an okay arm, and Brissett, we know his limitations, but Lamar Jackson would immediately unlock that part of the offense even more.
Yeah. The difficult thing for Washington is like, they're in a division with Dallas, New York, and Philadelphia. So as good as Lamar makes them, it's like all three of those teams are potential playoff teams next year. So
right. Which, you know, it'd make for an absolute just, yeah, prize fight every time the NFC East plays, which would be a fun contrast from what we had gotten for a few years. The last decade.
There was a point in the season this year where all four of those teams were technically in the playoffs.
Right.
So it's actually not that far-fetched that they could all make the playoffs if you put Lamar into the situation.
Right. I do
think the Giants will probably fall off a little bit, but that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, we can get into that another time. But I like Washington. Another team that I think makes sense stylistically, but I wouldn't wish it upon Lamar Jackson to go there, would be Tennessee. That's another team that if he went there, I think it would make sense, but also I wouldn't want to do that to him because Tennessee probably maybe has the worst receiving room in the NFL right now.
They do, and we failed to mention this last week.
We did. And so, like, I thought about Tennessee, and I was like, oh, I actually like them for Lamar, but oh, I actually hate them because remembering from our conversation after the pod, we completely forgot to bring up Tennessee because Tennessee is one of those teams that when they're not relevant, you kind of just, I blame the AFC South. It's kind of just like that weird hodgepodge of there's one good team and then you forget about the rest sometimes.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's probably going to go young.
Yeah, not, I don't.
By the way, but I think they're going to go young and cheap.
I think. Yeah, not to say that I think they will, but I think that they'd be a good stylistic fit. And I think he could, you know, still have remnants of like the Arthur Smith offense and whatnot. So I think that like that line could be drawn for how Lamar fits in Tennessee. But again, I wouldn't do that to him because he shouldn't have to go from a situation where he has been stuck in wide receiver weapon purgatory and then goes to a place where somehow it's hell.
True. I'm trying to see. So yeah, Tennessee, man.
it's a dire situation.
Steve, these guys, like, what are we doing here? I mean, Burks, okay, you spent a first round pick on him. You expect him to take a developmental step, but
yep.
Nick Westbrook Ikhine, he's just not a guy. Kyle Phillips, I actually loved Kyle Phillips' tape coming out of school. He's a fifth round pick. Like, how much are you really relying on?
He looked okay at the beginning of the year. He had like a couple pop plays and then he got hurt. But he showed a little bit of juice at the beginning of the year.
I think Chig Okonkwo is an up-and-coming receiving tight end he's a bad man. But
yes,
their receiver room, dude, is so bad. They don't even have, like, a veteran. They don't, like, Racy McMath, Robinson, like,
it's
Mason Kinsey. Like, who are these guys?
It's dire.
It's legitimately dire. And they did nothing in free agency to fix that either, which tells me, no, they were in some cap situations, but which that tells me that maybe they realize they're not in it for this year and they're gonna maybe sit back and go young. I would not be surprised, Steve, if you see Tennessee take a quarterback with the first round pick or even trade up to take a quarterback.
Right.
So I think that's gonna be their goal. So, and I agree, I don't want Lamar to go there. I'd rather see Lamar have a chance to succeed.
Yeah, I think that Vrabel's built up enough goodwill to where he can, you know, he could take a year where they need to, you know, try and rework some things.
Can I guess what you're doing right now?
Yep, I bet you can.
Steve is texting his wife to say, hey, can you please turn on the music?
Yeah, I heard that one and I'm like, that is the loudest thing ever. There he goes. She just got the message.
We're gonna get hit with a copyright strike.
Yeah, no. Yeah, great. We're gonna lose the whole pod now.
Yeah. That's funny. Have you seen the memes? There's like plenty of memes and like Instagram reels of guys recording podcasts with their friends and then their wives always finding some creative way to interrupt it.
No, I haven't.
Correct. It's always like quote unquote unintentional. But like it's obvious that, you know, they're getting trolled by their wife. It's pretty
right,
funny.
Right.
But that just happened. But that's okay.
Yep.
I have kids frequently run in my office while we're recording. Thankfully, in my new setup, I have a very easy mute button. I just tap it.
I know. I had it ready to go. The problem is I also wanted to talk, so it was real, real sticky situation there.
Yes. All right. What about before we get to the Jets? Because I do want to close it out with the Jets. Any other teams? I feel like I had a list yesterday. I was going off in the Fantasy Points Discord yesterday about.
Yeah, you were.
I'm trying to like who is
because Brett is noted against Lamar Jackson. So,
yeah, noted Lamar Jackson hater here.
I wouldn't say a hater. You're just not. You are unlike other people in that you're not 100% on board of for like some teams to just go like all in to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this weird expectation on Twitter that they like everybody. It's like unless you have Mahomes or Josh Allen, like people act like you're obligated to trade for Lamar Jackson, which is fun. I don't see it that way at all. What about. Actually, fill some space. I'm going to look at the message. I had a bunch of teams in that message yesterday. I want to see.
Yeah, I'm just like I've thought about it. The only other team, in my opinion, that even I think makes any type of sense is potentially the Patriots and trade Mac Jones and What?
I got the team, but we can talk Patriots first.
But do something a little different. But like, I don't see that as an actual possibility. But again, a team that I don't know if they're sold on their quarterback situation.
That's the one thing working there is that like, yeah, it doesn't seem like they like Mac Jones. I'm probably a bigger believer in Mac at this point than Bill is.
Probably.
But I want to see him with an actual offensive coordinator.
That too.
That would be very nice.
I'd also like to see them, you know, give him a receiver that isn't supposed to fit a specific role. Maybe see if someone can do multiple things. Get an athlete in there.
Yes.
But that, like, for a team that I don't think is sold on their quarterback situation, I think that Lamar could play okay there, but again, I don't see that as an actual possibility of that happening.
Yeah, same. I don't see them doing that, but that would be a relatively high pick too, 14th overall going to Baltimore, so they could get into the QB discussion if they wanted to draft one as well, you know.
I mean, getting rid of first round picks is arguably better for the Patriots than it is actually picking a team that just has continually seemed to let down their fan base with first round picks. Why not just like, hey, we're going to give up two of them. We know this guy works out well. This Lamar Jackson guy is pretty good. Like we'll just focus on our late round picks, which is where they tend to excel a little bit more, at least in recent history.
We need to start setting lines internally as a company for what random ass receiver the Patriots take at number 14. Because it won't be one of the top five or six. Like, what are we thinking? Cedric Tillman, pick 14.
I could see that.
Yeah, it's going to be something wild where you're just like, what in the world? Or Bijan. They'll take Bijan Robinson at 14 when they've got Ramondre Stevenson sitting on their roster. Watch. I'm not kidding. This is going to happen. Listen, I'm a longer Patriots fan than I am Lions fan here.
Yes, this is true.
I've been in misery the last few years watching Bill Belichick.
Oh, you poor thing. How do you do it?
The hopes of Bill Belichick making these decisions in a post-Tom Brady world where you just didn't realize how much Brady covered up.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, so you're right. Maybe getting rid of 14th overall is the better option.
At least, like I said, and then you could flip Mac. Mac has a ton of, like moving him, I think, would be easy, arguably. I think a young quarterback still on a rookie contract that has shown promise but didn't get, like, you know, he had his own issues with the coaching staff. I think that's a guy that a lot of teams would go after, too, that they could arguably get back decent draft value for if they wanted.
Steve, the New England Patriots drafted Cole Strange in the first round last year.
Yep.
There were other GMs who openly mocked them for the selection. That's how bad of a pick it was.
Yep. Yep.
Like Philadelphia, I think it was Howie, right? No, it was Tennessee. Tennessee GM openly mocked Bill for that pick. And he said, quote, that was a guy we were looking at in the third or fourth round. So, like, anyways, let's move on. One last team I want to throw out there, unless you got another point on the Patriots.
No, do it.
The Las Vegas Raiders. And this is basically Patriots West, so it's the same thing. And I know they just signed Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't care. I need someone to explain. I had the same rant about Vic Fangio in Denver, about why he hinged his entire coaching career on Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock going into year two or three or whatever it was.
Yep.
I got to ask my boy Josh the same question. You're not getting another coaching opportunity after this guy.
No.
You failed in your first one. You went back to rehab and suckled on the Patriots' teat again, and now you got another job.
And then you dipped your toe back in. You got a little bit scared. You went back,
and now you have this Raiders job. This is your last chance, and you're telling me you're going to hitch your wagon to Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who, for one, he's notoriously hurt, Steve.
Yep.
Like, aside from the skill set deficiencies here. He's notoriously hurt.
Yep.
He's not reliable. Their backup quarterback right now is a guy by the name of Chase Garbers. You ever heard of him?
No.
No, me neither. I have no idea who Chase Garbers is.
Is that sounds like a Madden create a player. That they just like it was like, that was your draft pick last year.
Name generator.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. This is a weird situation. And if Josh wanted a chance at being successful, this is probably the team I think needs to do this the most. I think Atlanta, good fit, but I think they can get a guy at eight to compete with Ritter and with Heinicke, or they could even get in the trade up discussion. Raiders are also right there too at seven, but they need to be better right now because I think, you know, you've got Davante Adams who's getting older. They just put a bunch of money into Jacoby Myers. Like their skill set, their skill player positions are they have guys that can play right now that are veterans and older. And like go get Lamar Jackson. Like also look on the defensive side of the ball. Like Chandler Jones is getting older. You know he's probably their best defensive player to be honest. Max Crosby's really good too, obviously. But point being, Steve, like I don't know why in the world, just like with Fangio hitching his wagon to Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock at 70 years old or whatever, you know, Vic waited how long to get a head coaching job? 30 years.
Yeah.
He gets one and then does that. Josh, you're like, if you lose this job, this is it for you as a head coach in the NFL.
Especially because like Vic Fangio at least had a really good defense to hang his hat on the whole time he was there. Like he legitimately was a quarterback away. Like if they had just found the right quarterback, this is a different situation where Las Vegas's defense has been a trip for a while. And so why not go get Lamar and make your offense a strong side of the ball? And, you know, it didn't work with Derek Carr, but I think Lamar elevates that offense to something a little bit higher than what Derek Carr offered. And why not just try and make your offense a strength and you know, maybe keep your defense afloat. And then it allows you to focus a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball if you go in the draft.
Yeah.
I think they need offensive line help, but at least with Lamar, it's a Band-Aid on some issues that you have.
Oh, yeah. And just like you're not winning anything, especially in the NFC with AFC with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm sorry. You're just not.
No, listen, Shanahan maxed out Jimmy G. And I think we can all agree on that Jimmy G in San Fran was probably the best form of Jimmy G there ever has or ever will be.
Yep.
And that's fine. But Josh McDaniel has to understand it as well.
Yes. All right. Real quickly, we need to close this out. Let's talk about the New York Football Jets.
Yep.
The interesting thing about all these teams we've laid out for Lamar is we've talked about how most of them, except for the Titans, have good situations for pass catchers. The Jets are no different. They've got Garrett Wilson. They've got Alan Lazard. They've got Corey Davis. They've got Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman reminds me a lot of a guy that Lamar had a little bit of success with in Baltimore. And I'm blanking. I don't know why I'm blanking. My brain is fried. Devin DuVernay. Sorry.
Ah, okay.
There's a lot of overlap there. So
yeah.
see Lamar. And the nice thing for Lamar is Mecole would be like the fourth or fifth guy on that depth chart where
right.
Renee was like number two. Or actually,
right, he was their their primary slot guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So their offensive line is not in terrible shape. They have, I would say, a good tight end rotation with Conklin, Uzuma, and Jeremy Ruckert, who they drafted in the third round last year. They've got a great running back situation. They proved they could run the ball last year, and their defense has been outstanding and getting better.
And it's young.
Under Robert Saleh, yes. This is the team, other than the Raiders, that makes the most sense for. And I know they're linked to Aaron Rodgers for obvious reasons, right? Because yep. they're probably feel like they're a quarterback away from really, you know, causing some.
We all know they're a quarterback away. Yeah. I mean, last year was
Super Bowl competition, but from making the playoffs and being a legit team.
I would go so far as to say if they got an Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson, I think you'd immediately vault them to like top five Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, I won't argue with that. No, like, top five in the league or top five AFC?
Top five in the league, I would say. Wow. Like that. I mean, that's a good roster and that's a good team. They've got a lot of good weapons. Did they end up with a winning record last year? I forget if they finished 8-9 or 9-8 or right around there.
I think 8-9.
Yeah. And they did that with, I mean, they were anemic at quarterback all year, whether it was Zach Wilson
right.
doing whatever Zach Wilson did. Mike White had, you know, his games here and there where they, you know, he had everyone believing for a second and then it didn't work out. But I mean, just having stability at quarterback, I think immediately makes them a top five team in the NFL on paper.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, even more reason for them to do it then, because
it is. And I just is like after everything. Now, there was a report that came out today that said that everybody expects it. The Packers and the Jets both expect this deal to get done before the draft. And there's rumors that it could happen as early as next week. Now, we've heard that a million times now, I feel like. Yes. But if you're choosing between the two, like you're going to have to give up first round picks for either guy. And
the money's the same roughly. Like you're going to commit to paying Rodgers a ton of money either way.
Exactly. Like is Rodgers that much better than Lamar Jackson that he's worth the, you don't know how long he's going to stay. He had a downer year last year. It wasn't the quintessential Aaron Rodgers that we're all used to seeing. And it's just this whole circus that it's going through. The circus that is Aaron Rodgers appearing on the Pat McAfee show. And, you know, I want to go to the Jets, but now I don't really have that power. Like, why not just strip yourself of it? Say to hell with everyone and just go get Lamar Jackson and then wash your hands of the entire situation.
Agreed. I firmly agree. In fact, I think this is now we've talked me into thinking this is the spot for Lamar. Has to be. It makes no sense. I mean, I think the one of the things that's not being talked about enough that is shying people away from Lamar is that like you basically have to fundamentally change what you do on offense to accommodate his skill set, because it is a unique skill set.
Right.
It's a rare skill set and it's a powerful skill set, but it is so unique. It's like most teams aren't using playbooks that can feature Lamar's strength to its max.
Right.
So you do have to. Okay, that's fine. That's an obstacle I'm willing to give myself when I'm talking about trading for a 40-year-old quarterback who's a head case, you know.
I would rather
have Lamar if I'm the Jets.
I agree. I just don't think the whole, it's not worth it. And like New York as a city, as a media, as all of it, like will only, all of that stuff that happens in Green Bay, like it's fine because Green Bay is its own little place and it, you know, it gets national news when it wants to be national news. In New York, you're not like, there's no escape and there's also no built up goodwill.
Right.
Especially after this whole rodeo that he's been, you know, he and the Packers and the Jets have been putting Jets fans through. I mean, if Rodgers falters to start in any way, that, you know, that immediate, all that goodwill or any potential excitement starts to dwindle. And, you know, though, like, the pitchforks could come out. Not that I think that'll happen, but it's just, we know that New York's a much more cutthroat market. And especially with a team that is like right on the precipice of breaking up what has been a super long playoff drought. And they seem to be at the next step. Like, why not just focus on the football at hand and not bring in this, you know, all the other outside issues that come with Aaron Rodgers inherently.
Right. I agree. All right, Steve, I think we need to get out of here. That's going to do it. Free Lamar Jackson, put him on the New York Jets, win, at least contend for that division.
Yeah.
And then potentially compete for the Super Bowl. I think that's a good recipe for success. So, all right, we're going to get out of here. Steve and I will be back next week. Make sure you're paying attention on Twitter about this, the episode 50 giveaway that is going to happen. It's going to be random, but you got to make sure you follow those steps.
Yep.
Give us a review, 5-star only. And that's, by the way, that's the Fantasy Points Podcast Network, which you know because you are listening.
You're here.
You're here. But just in case that wasn't clear, give the whole feed a 5-star review. Make sure you mention Brett and Steve in your review. And then DM me screenshot proof, or DM Steve screenshot proof, and then we'll go from there. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.